Even when it comes to making right decisions, your friends say, hey, let's go do this. And you know in your heart it's not the best thing. Do you run with them because you're insecure and you need affirmation? Or do you say, nah, you guys go ahead? Because in your mind you're saying, I'm be fine with Jesus tonight. He and I are plenty. And I don't need to do that to get my tank filled. Come on, you party pooper. Yeah, maybe it's all right. I'll see you guys tomorrow. When you take that kind of leadership, you'll be able to take that kind of leadership in a relationship with a sister or sisters with a brother.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, Pastor Wayne will be looking at a guy in the Bible who couldn't take his eyes off of the pretty girls and how it eventually led to him having his eyes put out. We're talking about Samson. Samson has a lot to say to us today about relationships with the opposite sex. He speaks to us mostly through his own mistakes. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Understanding True Love.
All of us need help in relationships and how to navigate this thing called love. And we want to open our hearts today to a guest speaker named Samson who knows a lot about love. From the bottom side or the darker side, because he's not going to speak out of his victories. He's going to speak to us out of his failures. But sometimes that's even more poignant, more powerful, more potent than someone who's never gone through any of the pain of this. Samson is a guy that's an interesting fellow. His story is seen in the book of Judges. Now, he grew up to a point where he wanted some allowance. And so he asked his family, his mom and dad, instead of allowance, get me a woman.
That's right.
Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman of the Philistines. And she was a daughter of the Philistines. And so he went to his father and mother and said, get her for me as a wife. His father and mother said, isn't there any other women around here among your relatives, your own people, that you're going to go to get this foreign woman? Samson said to his father, get her for me. She looks good. That's kind of how relationships start. Looks good. And we've been taught that way in our society. That's why you see the women down in Waikiki with all of their sparkling stuff. You know, they're walking. They're trolling. They're trolling. And the men are there fishing. But listen, I tell this to the ladies, if you're out trolling, the only thing you're going to catch are trolls. We have to rethink everything about love. Now, some of the things that you're going to hear today will challenge you. Some of you will be convicted. But listen, never feel condemned, because God is not a condemner of persons. The Holy Spirit will be likened to a dove that hovers, never a hawk that dive bombs. So if you hear anything that condemns, don't receive it. God will move in quickly to restore, but he never comes to condemn. Always remember this. Condemnation is something that drives you further away from God, whereas conviction is something that draws you nearer to him. We'll feel sometimes like Peter, who when he came out of the boat, when he saw who Jesus was, the Bible says he fell at Jesus' feet and said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. I'm a wicked man. There's going to be times you're going to feel that way. I have. When I realize that I've done dumb stuff and I think, oh man, I don't even deserve to be in his presence. But when those things happen, always remember that his arm is around you saying, okay, then let's walk through this together and be wiser because of it. Let's use that as a point of wisdom and come closer. Never, never feel that God condemns you for that. But you will feel convicted. If you feel that you're in any of these situations now currently, then ask God, how do I resolve this and how do I make it right? How do I turn the bus around? And you have to remember that many of us have learned it wrong. We've grown up in a society or an environment that has taught us whether to compromise or to rationalize or whatever it is. And then we come to this point and we realize this isn't the way of love. This isn't God's love. And sometimes we have to take the painful path to realize that God's promises are better. But we don't see that until we feel the pinch and the pain. Today we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that we may have learned wrongly and we want to learn correctly. Samson's going to undergird this whole message today. He's someone that went after this Philistine woman, actually got married, then divorced her, then had three other affairs. He went through a one, then went to a harlot, and then went to, finally, Delilah. And that was the beginning of the end. Later on in his life, however, God brings him full circle, and he fulfills what God asked him to do in the beginning. Oh, he lost his eyes because of it. But he comes back and says, God, I'm going to stay with you all the way to the end. And so we find Samson as a teacher today for us who are trying to understand love. Now, as I said, we've grown up in a society where love has been taught to us incorrectly, because that's all we know. And sometimes we then come into Christianity and we're caught in this web. In fact, when I came to Christ, I was actually living with a girl and we were about to be married. And I think it was 3 weeks when I came to Christ. I broke it off, right? 2 weeks before the wedding. Try that. I was not liked by this woman. But then she went out and she got married. Within 2 months, she married another guy. And so I thought, wow, I'm glad we made a change here. So we're all going to get caught in the situation, and then we're going to find ourselves in Christ. Now, we can condemn ourselves for the situation we're in, or we can turn the bus around and do it right. Always remember this. You never take God's standard and move it to our lifestyle so that we feel better about our lifestyle and rationalize it. No, we take our lifestyle and move it to His. And that's called being changed from glory to glory. And some people say from gory to glory into His image. Well, that's all right. And it's a process. So whether you're caught in it or you've already gone through it, then know that God's going to use this for even others. Some of you will have gone through this stuff. So then what do we do? The Lord says, wait a minute. 1 Corinthians says this, the same comfort with which you've been comforted, thereby comfort one another. In other words, the stuff you've learned, don't disqualify yourself. Get it right, because there's going to be a day you're going to be sitting across in Starbucks from somebody or a cafe or your own living room, and someone is going to be in that same position. They'll say, what do I do? You will give them the instruction and the mentoring and the wisdom that you gained at a high price. You'll be able to pass that on. Watch for those moments. So don't bail out or disqualify yourself. There's more ahead that you have as an assignment upcoming. So we'll talk about something that all of us have gone through or heard in society, and that's just living together. Forget about this marriage stuff. Did you know that 52% of people in America get a divorce? So they say, if it's that high of a percentage, let's just not get married. And what we don't know is that's really a higher percentage, because there's a bunch of people that live together and then bail out. And did you know that they did a research on those that live together? 80% of those don't work out. Not 52, 80% of those don't work out. So the breakup rate is even far higher. So what do? Do we just throw out marriage or throw out this other kind of relationships? Just throw it all away and just say, forget it then. No. We just get it right. But some people say, Wayne, why does God want us to be within the parameter of marriage before we live together or have sex? Well, why? Because God's way always has a good reason to it. Well, let's take a look at this. First of all, let's just say here's the parameter of the commitment of marriage. Within it, you're committed, you have children, there's a responsibility. Outside would be a violation of that, infidelity, etc. But let's just say this is the parameter of marriage. Now, the reason God says that it's so important for us to understand this is because in the end, you can tell people what you think is right, but ultimately you're going to reproduce what you are. You can tell people what's right or wrong, but in your life, in your family, you will have a tendency to reproduce what you are. You'll gain it from the generations before. You're going to have a tendency to pass it on. Now, it's still a choice for us to say, we're not going to take that, or I'm not going to let it go beyond me. But the tendencies, the proclivity will be there. So you say, well, why is God saying that we need to respect the parameters of marriage in the Bible? Well, let's take a look. Let's say boy meets girl. And now they're not married at all. They're not responsible. They've not made a commitment to each other in marriage. But they meet each other. And after 3 or 4 months, they see each other and they get goo-goo eyes and they say, oh, I like being around you. I like being around you too. Oh, I think I love you. And the girl says, but I want to know for sure. Well, then he says, well, if you really love me, will you move in with me? She said, what? Yeah, I love you. I just love you with all my heart. I love you. So she says, really? And so then they move in together. Now, I can't show you what they're doing behind there, but they just moved in together. And so now they're sleeping together. Everything is, you know, just like wonderful and bliss. But they have not, they're doing this outside of the parameter of marriage. But they're saying, if you love me, then it's okay. And that's what society teaches, right? You see it on the sitcoms and movies. It doesn't matter about a commitment of marriage. If we love one another, that's good enough. Now, let's say after a while she gets pregnant and they think, well, we better get together in marriage. So they then move into this commitment called marriage for the sake of the kids and etc. And at first, everything is fine. They are in bliss. They love one another. Now, 4 or 5 years goes by and 2 kids, and he has more fun with his buddies. And when his buddy says, let's go drinking at Lopaka's Tavern, okay, shouldn't you be home? Nah, my wife, my old lady, she don't care. And so he goes off with his friends. His friends become more important than his responsibilities at home. But she's tired of changing diapers alone. And instead of him being home, he's out with the other people. So what happens is after a while, emotionally now, there is a drift. They're still married, but they're just not emotionally attached like they could be. And so with the drift there, her emotions are looking for someone who will understand her, someone who will empathize with her. Then at work, along comes Harry. And he listens to her. He listens to her sorrows. He empathizes with her woes. He's compassionate with her. He's a companion to her. And Harry doesn't mess with her, condemn her, argue with her. And now what happens is she emotionally attaches to Harry. Oh, she's still involved with the marriage, but emotionally she's separated. So all that's left is this legal parameter of marriage. Now, these things happen not because they're evil, but because we as people are humans and we're needy and we're frail. And if we don't understand what's going on today, you'll get caught in this. And one of the most dangerous things is in your mind, here's what makes you most vulnerable, is when we as a Christian say, that could never happen to me. That makes you very vulnerable. Because then the enemy hits you on the blind side. Let's go back now to Mary and Harry here. Now, they're over there, they're talking with one another, and she says to Harry, I wish I would have known you before, because you're so kind to me, and you listen to me, and you listen to everything. And he says, yes, what else can I do for you? And he's just so compassionate. Now, over here, this guy, he's out of it. But she's now emotionally attached to Harry. And then one day while eating bento at Aala Park, she says, I think I love you. And Harry says, but I want to know for sure. And they rendezvous. And what happens next? I can't show you. Now, what happens over here is this person says, wait a minute, what are you doing going off with this guy? You're married. And I cannot tell you how many times these people have come to me and said, she was married, she broke that marriage vow. And I say to this guy here, do you remember who taught her how to do that? Let's go back when you two met and you saw each other outside of the parameter of marriage now. And not only that, you fell in love. And you said, if you love me, we can live together. And we can go do our thing. And that was outside of the parameter of marriage. And who was the first one that violated this precious sacred office of marriage? It wasn't her. You taught her well that it's okay if you love somebody to have sex with them. But that's a dangerous thing. Because you see, the real parameter for sex is not love. Because you're going to have a lot of guys tell you, I love you. Parameter for sex is not love. Parameter for sex is within the lifelong commitment of marriage. And God has designed it in such a way that within that embrace, the sexual act of intimacy strengthens and deepens your marriage. Outside, it destroys it. Every single one of us have to understand why God says it's so important. Because remember, we can tell people what we think they should know. But ultimately, we're going to reproduce what we are. And if you begin to understand that that entails everything about you, you start to think more wisely and you come to a greater understanding of the true meaning of love. We all need help in navigating relationships. We don't know when to launch, when to hold back. And I mean, we've never learned these things before. You don't get taught these things in college. You just have to pick it up along the way. And sometimes we're just not ready for relationships, but we don't know that. Solomon said that, and it just blew my mind. It's in the book of Proverbs, chapter 30. He says something very interesting. He says, under four things the world can't bear up. And he shares some ethereal kinds of things. But one of the things of those four, he says, where the world can't bear up against is this. When an unloved woman gets a husband. And I thought, what's wrong with that? That's nice. And so after discussing this with Solomon for a while and looking through different writings of Solomon and different scriptures, then I began to understand. You see, when there is a woman that craves to be loved but doesn't have the preparation, she becomes a waiting codependent on anybody. Because you see, when you just need love more than anything else and you want someone to be your companion more than anything else, you'll be willing to cut corners, you'll be willing to take shortcuts, you're willing to compromise even your faith in order to get love. And as soon as somebody comes by, you're like an opihi. And you just stick to that person. Because you need that love so badly. And if that person says okay, and then that person gets married to you, Your trouble is just beginning because you're codependent. And then your expectations are shattered and your dreams are broken and that person can use you. So you say, well, how then do you prepare your heart so that you don't get caught in these kinds of things? Here's some of the things that I suggest. The first thing is to prepare your heart for relationships. Number one is develop such a healthy relationship with God that Jesus becomes, read it with me, more than enough. Did you know that the name Yahweh or the name of God actually means a God who is more than enough? If you think about it, in the beginning, it's going to be you and Jesus. And you can have children, families, employment, jobs, careers, but in the end, it's going to be you and Jesus. And so you need to get comfortable with having a relationship with Christ that's just more than enough. I'm okay with that. If not, you're going to look for someone to fill a void, and God is saying, I fill those voids really, really well. And we'll become a codependent, as it were. There'll be areas of our life that we just need someone to fill us with because Jesus has never been enough. Before you get involved with any relationship, this is what you'll need to develop. Otherwise, you're going to become what the Bible calls someone who is vulnerable to the enemy, the adversary of your soul. You're going to come to a point where you're so susceptible that the devil calls it. Do you remember when Jesus was in the desert in Luke, and Jesus resisted all the temptations of the enemy, and the enemy stopped and said, I'm going to wait for a more opportune moment. Do you remember that? There's going to be times in our life that will be opportune moments for the enemy. And if you've not developed this, you will be extremely susceptible to his crafty ways. And if you're a needy person and you've not developed this, you are a prime target. But if you have developed a relationship with Christ, you'll be a single sister and it's all right. So when God does bring someone into your life, it's icing on the cake. It's not something that I need and I become codependent with. You've got to develop that. So you're okay. My wife is up in Oregon with our grandson. My daughter just had a C-section. And so Anna's with her and helping take care of the babies. Just a perfect grandson named Zach. and Zachy, we call him, and just a wonderful little kid. But I'm back here and she's over there, and it's been far too long that she's been gone. But Valentine's night, here's my dinner, Valentine's night, by myself. I had Quaker oats and Triscuits and cheese. And you know what? It's really good when you put honey on Quaker oats and you eat it. It's really good. But you know, if Jesus weren't enough for me, I would have a wanderlust thinking, you know, there's got to be more. But if you develop a relationship with Christ that says, you know, me and Jesus is plenty and I love being with the Lord, you'll have a deep set foundation in you that'll make you wiser when the enemy comes around the corner with temptations. The second thing is not only to develop a healthy relationship with God, that Jesus is more enough, but second, develop healthy relationships with people of the same gender. Which means, brothers, before you can handle a relationship with a sister, you got to have good, healthy relationship with the brothers. And I don't mean just junior high kind of fickle kind of relationships where all these gangs run together. No, healthy relationship where you can navigate relationships with your own gender well. Even when it comes to making right decisions, your friends say, hey, let's go do this. And you know in your heart it's not the best thing. Do you run with them because you're insecure and you need affirmation? Or do you say, nah, you guys go ahead? Because in your mind, you're saying, I'm be fine with Jesus tonight. He and I are plenty. Jesus and me make a majority. And I don't need to do that to get my tank filled. No, I don't need affirmation from my peers. I think I'm fine here. You guys go, oh, come on, you party pooper. Yeah, maybe it's all right. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Now, when you take that kind of leadership with your peers, you'll be able to take that kind of leadership in a relationship with a sister or sisters with a brother. But if you can't do that with your own gender, I tell you, you're going to have a terrible time when you start dating because you won't know right from wrong. You'll be quick to compromise. Why? Because you did that with your buddies. You understand God is going to help us to develop a preparation for a relationship so that we understand the true meaning of love. And then Paul says something really interesting. When God gives you the green light and you start to date or whatever, here's what Paul says. This is what you've got to put in your heart. In fact, let's read it together. Would you read it with me? Go. Treat the older men as fathers and the younger men as brothers. And then treat the older women as mothers and the younger women as sisters. And what? All in purity. That has to be the basic heart set when you move into relationships if you want to be prepared for what God has for you. In other words, he's saying, when you're out with a sister, guys, you treat, when with a girl, you treat her as if she were on your own sister. And same sisters, when you're out with a guy, it's like your own brother. How many of you ladies have brothers in your family? Raise your hand. Okay? How many of you men have sisters in your family? Raise your hand. All right. Let's say, guys, you went out to a movie with your sister. All right. Would you want to make out with her? It's like throw up. Isn't that right? I'd vomit. In other words, what God is saying in this is saying, when you even think about taking this sister into the sheets, it should be, no way, that's crazy. That has to be your heart in the beginning. Because I honor her, and she is like my sister, all in purity. Then later on, when God gives you the green light and you get married, then there's a beautiful relationship in the parameters of marriage. But then what you've done is you have understood more about the commitment and the sanctity of marriage. And you develop something that's just beautiful in the eyes of God, and a trust and a depth of trustworthiness in your marriage that's so lacking in millions of homes today. Now, nobody teaches us this stuff. And so you're going to be probably in this situation now that we're learning these things along the way. And we say, yep, I can do this. I can get better at it. I can get better at it. And then when the temptations come, you'll be able to turn the bus around early. And when you understand God's love, you'll understand that His kind of love heals. Learn to understand the true meaning of love. It'll be one of the best things you'll ever have done. Can you say amen to that? Amen.
You have just heard a message entitled Understanding True Love by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.